Yes. What's happening, people? Episode 228. We have a full squadron inside. You have myself, Nate, the man in the know.
What up, though? Kiss Twist.
Just Richard today.
You have the Super Saiyan, Merv. Hey, hey.
Marley Marl, a.k.a. ORV.
A.k.a. Bro,
is that new in there, you know?
What's that stand for?
With this new stuff.
What was the AKA?
Everyone's like, what?
I'll tell you offline.
Huh?
I'll tell you offline.
Fair enough. All right, people, what's been going on? Everyone all right? Again, apologies that, well, I would say apologies. I'm apologizing to you, man. I'm not apologizing to the people because it comes at the same time. But apologies, we did not record yesterday as usual. I was otherwise occupied. I do apologize.
Nobody knows.
what difference does that make?
No, I said apologize to you, man. I said everyone don't know.
Yeah, but we spoke about this behind closed doors, brother. You get me?
Thanks for the live apology, man.
I know it's cool, man. I should celebrate that. I should celebrate man's in the quarterfinals. That's all it was. But anyway, let's carry on. All right, how's everyone's week?
No, we're not doing that.
Let's carry on. Yeah, I tried to give you a little bring in. No one wants to take the bring ins.
Nah, shout out Big Arsenal, man. Shout us out. I was emotional yesterday, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. My heart rate was up and down, blood pressure was, I don't know, bro. You know what my tactic was? Whenever Arsenal could take the penalty, I leave the room in it. I come back to when Porter's taking the penalty. That's what I was doing.
Whenever Arsenal was taking the penalty,
I'll leave the room.
Yeah.
I wait for the cheer.
You have to commit, man. Don't commit to your team.
That's poor. Win or lose, no?
It's a superstitious thing. It's like, it's not about me backing them or not. It's about
if you imagine, like, he did watch it and they missed, he would almost, even though we know it's nonsense, internalize that as his fault that they lost.
Exactly.
So him by leaving, it has nothing to do with him. His hands are clean.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. There's an Arsenal top I wear. And every time I wear it, when we're in a final, we win. So I have to wear that top at any final. I have to.
Told you. We have superstitions like where the players themselves. You got. Even when I walk in Emirates, I walk up the stairs in a certain direction.
Yeah,
like NJ the other day tried to go another direction. I just left him. I don't know the way I normally go, bro.
Yeah. Quarterfinals, baby.
Quarterfinals. Jaws on Friday.
Massive. The mental block is now done.
I don't know if it is, but I feel like a lot of people just made a big deal out of nothing. When you make big statements like 14 years and ain't been there for 10, that is a pointless statement.
I know. Was it 10 or 7?
I don't know, so whatever it is, but you know, like, it's the one that made up stats, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, it's a stat, and that's the problem. Stats are there to kind of prove points, right? And the fact that we've kind of got past this stage, I think it would just benefit the team. The fact that not many of them have ever played Champions League or even probably been in Europe. Well, actually, all of them have been in Europe, but not in Champions League anyway. So it's another
boundary. All of them. Right, hasn't been in Europe.
We'll get excited separately because I can see
people. Wait, are you, man, the kind of guys that like cry if, like, you don't do too well?
Damn right.
Take him off?
No, are you, man, the kind of guys that would like cry if it don't go your way for football?
No.
I would.
And I wouldn't cry.
You don't say this, you was emotional.
But I could cry. Let's say Arsenal win the Champions League and the league. I could cry. 100%. 100%.
Tears of joy, though.
Yeah, of course, tears of joy.
I'm not crying,
but like, you get me, like.
I haven't cried about football since 95. That was the last time I cried over football.
Is that Naeem?
We lost to Naeem, and that was the last, first of all, I said, I'm not doing it no more. Like, when I talk about crying, I was uncontrollable crying in the chair, like it was me. And I remember it because years later, that's how NJ was when England got knocked out of the Euros, you know, against Italy, where they lost the final.
Yeah.
And I came and I saw him crying tears. I said, "What's the matter, bro?" But I remember. But I remember years ago.
I was close to tears.
I was close to tears.
Who's echoing?
Who's echoing, bro?
It's definitely not me.
Definitely Merv.
Well, I'm just here being peaceful and quiet, you know. Gosh, wait, hold on a second. Hold on.
It's gone now. It's gone. It's cool, Merv. Don't worry.
No, I joked to you, Merv. You can unmute yourself, bro.
I came close to tears with that Ghana-Uruguay game, quarterfinals. I came close to tears. But it was more anger. It was more anger.
No, yeah, that wasn't tears. That's more anger. You know,
it was anger.
Cheated,
yeah. Yeah. But, all right. Sorry, Mo, but quickly, what's the last film that made you look cry? Or has a film made you cry? Is there a film that you guys watch or something that makes you cry every time you watch it? Or
Set It Off.
Is it?
When Queen Latifah dies, bro. Maybe I don't have tears, but I feel it. When she stays there.
Pause.
Oh, and she's doing that every time, and then you see the tears on her face, yeah. And then because she's wearing cameras, and she kind of looks like she could be a family member, so I get even more upset.
That makes sense.
I feel like that's what it means. When I look at her, I feel like, oh no, you could have been my aunties or something like that, you know what I mean? My cousins or one of them kind of thing. Yeah. So that's what I get.
She probably looks like a role anyway. Probably looks like a role in it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It could be one of the family members. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What about you, Merv?
Mine's Short Circuit when they dismantled Johnny Fire.
That one, I'm not gonna lie to you, I cried to that about 15, 16 years. No, probably longer than that. When I was younger, when that came out, I actually cried to that. It was deep.
Standard, bro. Terminator 2 Judgment Day. A slight tinge of tear. Yeah, bro. I know now why you cry, but it's nothing I can ever do. Like, that's a bad Arnie impression, I know, but that hit me, man. That hit me. Until he resurrected about 7 million times afterwards. Ruined it.
Marley Mar?
That's a good question, bro. It's mad because I was literally thinking about that today. Like, there's certain films out there that I might like get a little emotional and have to hold in tears. But one film for sure, Champ. I don't know if anyone's seen
it. Thank you, bruv. Batman.
Bruv.
Marley Mar, listen. Batman. That film there.
Champ. Like when he's tears, bruv. Tears. I can't hold that one back.
What film is that? Who's in it?
Oh man, it's like about
Champ. John Voight in it.
It's from the 80s, right?
Is it 80s? It's old film.
79. I went around in time, so I know you look worse, so obviously that's why.
Oh, here we go.
This guy.
But no, like, every time.
My friend that was in Supergirl the other day, Faye Dunaway.
Well, she was in it.
Yeah, she was in it, yeah.
But yeah, that film.
Yeah, that's the film I was going to say, Mar. That's the exact same film I was going to say, Champ.
Even looking at the front cover, it looks like it makes you cry. You know? It's got that saturated feel to it.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a long time, but the last time I saw it, yeah, my cheeks were wet.
Brother, I guarantee you, if any of us watch it, yeah, no, that was a bit. That wording was terrible.
Lava.
We're talking about crying. Where do tears go, bro?
Bro, wrong is wrong. You can't just brush over that, bro.
I'm gonna ruin the moment. It's all freaking sentimental here. He just ruined the moment.
He said it, not me, bro. I was trying to join in.
He ruined the moment. That's what I'm saying. John ruined it.
Whatever, guys. Whatever. 6 year olds.
Man said his cheeks are wet. 6 year olds.
Rich, you can't say
Short Circuit. No pause.
Do you know what?
He's Googling what films make you cry.
I've got a variation of it. I don't have a set film that actually gets me emotional. It just is a variation of films depending on a moment. Even TV shows, if I watch something like Fresh Prince, something about it will just bring back a good memory. But specifically, like if I want to watch a film and get teary eyed, I don't actually have one. But I'm sure if I sit down and think about
that series, Nate, that you told us to watch, was it One Day?
Yes,
that one. That's a tearjerker.
Did you? So I had this conversation with my mum. Yeah, did you get teary on that? I was like,
watery. It didn't, but it was watery. Mine's a watery.
That means you got into pause. You got into the characters, like in the sense of
I was not expecting it at all. What happened? I'm not going to spoil it, but I was not expecting it at all. I think that it was a shock of it. Like, what? And then it was his reaction and how he dealt with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, right, like, yeah.
Nah.
Big shout, though. I got to say, Richard, Fresh Prince, yeah. There's two episodes that I'm with you on.
The only episode one is when Will and his dad.
With his dad, and the one where Will gets shot.
Yeah,
and on the bed, bruv. That scene, his acting in that. Boy, it's not
that one. Was that when Colin gets the gun?
Colin comes in. Yeah.
That was a big episode.
That was emotional, man.
Those two might be the biggest episodes, actually. Yeah. Like
emotional wise. With a message in it, kind of thing.
That's you're right. Those are the two biggest Fresh Prince episodes, I think.
And when Colin takes speed,
I'm sorry, man. Carton,
you know, Will starts crying at the end. That is emotional as well. Carton nearly died and all that.
Emotional, but it didn't make you cry. Like,
it's just Will being sad at the end, and Uncle Phil holding him, and like the family resolve it. It's like, I don't know. Maybe it's because of how they look. I can kind of, I don't know. But that was a because it was funny when Carton's doing all the fun dancing, and then he collapses, and he's in hospital, and now the family are scared, and then Will's got to own up. Remember, his dad like feels like, here, Will, here's your tickets to this. Is that? And he feels so guilty. He's like, I can't do this, man. Like, it was my fault. I don't know. That was emotional to me. Like,
I'm not going to lie. I don't remember that episode.
No, but I'm starting to remember it. And that's now making me think Belair made a little bit more sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, as you're seeing it, it's reminding me of the actual episode. And I'm like, okay, because when I watched Belair, I was like, this is left field. Why the hell is Carlton taking drugs for? Like, he's never taken drugs for his life. But obviously, like, that makes a bit more sense.
Yeah, you can imagine that, like, the showrunners are like, yeah, let's really tap into this whole storyline and really bring out some dynamics in Carlton, innit? Just make him a goofball. Right?
Yeah. No, Fresh Prince, brother, anyway, yeah. Fresh Prince, you know, it's a legendary, bro.
No, legendary.
Shout out Will Smith. But I guess that brings us on to something I'm going to hand over to Merv, because obviously I know Merv stayed up Sunday night and watched it. There was no slap this year.
Sorry.
There was no slap this year.
Rituals,
but the Oscars. Let's talk about it, because I don't. Apart from me reciting the winners, I don't know nothing about it.
Okay, it was the I can't remember what number of Oscars it was, It was this Oscars kind of brought back the Oscars, like just the fun, the joy of it and stuff. Because I think of late, it's not really been hitting audiences too great well, isn't it? But you had Jimmy Kimmel hosting it again, it was like, it's all right, you know, but some jokes he made just went a bit too far. Like, he made a little pop at, what's his name, Robert Downey Jr., about this being a high moment of his life, and then he alluded to, obviously, when he was drug taking back in the day and stuff, innit? So it's like, some distasteful jokes, like, and... Yeah, just like, you know, when people are just kind of thinking, all right, just trying to like work with this and stuff, isn't it? But yeah, that was a bit disappointing. But I guess like performance wise as well, what's his name? Ryan Gosling done his performance of I Am Ken from the Barbie movie, which was very entertaining. Do you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, other than that, the main sort of winners for this year was Oppenheimer, which we probably all saw coming.
Yeah, like, they won everything.
Yeah, just like, well-deserved as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's Christopher Nolan's first directing, first Oscar as a director. Obviously, Cillian Murphy won Best Actor in it. Best Picture as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you had best actress for Emma Stone, which for was Paul for Paul Finn.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. Has anyone seen that?
Yeah, I watched it over the weekend.
What's that?
It's wild, did you watch, man.
Poor Things.
Yeah.
Did you watch it because of this?
The thing is, yeah, I would have probably watched it eventually, but I watched it more because of the buzz around how good it was. And then the thing is, I didn't have a clue what it was about. So I'm glad, even with all the buzz, all it was is just Emma Stone, like, you know, she's up in the runnings against, what's her name? Lily Gladstone, like, to win the Oscar. So I'm thinking, this film sounds like it's just on levels, isn't it? But I'm glad that I didn't know anything about it. I just watched it and I was like, whoa. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a good film. Different, but it's good.
And it's got Mark Ruffalo in it as well, yeah?
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo and Willem Dafoe as well.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so that is a good film. Well, on the subject of Robert Downey Jr. as well, he won Best Supporting Actor in Oppenheimer as well. So I think, I'm not sure if that's his, I think that's his first Oscar award. Because I think he was nominated when he done Chaplin, but I'm not too sure if he won it. What else is there?
Davine Joy Randolph. She won Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, and The Holdovers. Again, which I heard is another good film, but haven't seen that yet. Yeah, I haven't seen that. The best song, what's the name? Billie Eilish, What I Was Made For, that's from Barbie as well. I probably like that song, that's the thing.
Playlist.
Best original score in Oppenheimer again. Like Ludwig Göransson, so he's the one that done like Mandalorian theme tune, Creed theme tune as well. Like, yeah, his music's sick.
Just because I know you do, is this one of the ones that are actually on your playlist?
Oh yeah, hell yeah! Come on.
No, Kel, do you remember the movies tell us that he just listens to like the soundtrack, but like the soundtrack without the words, is the music. This is.
Why do you have to specifically say without the words? Like,
no, as in because they're not songs. What I mean is you're listening to a score, you're not listening to a song.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't mean it like I'm trying to over explain to Kel, but I was like, it's not like the song. Like, I listen to a soundtrack because it's got a rap tune, it's like a 2-pack beat or whatever. But I mean, yeah, I just listen to them kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. All the time, man, all the time. I'd probably say that's like my most played playlist, basically.
What, Oppenheimer?
Not Oppenheimer as such, but just like soundtracks, yeah.
I might try it one day. I might try it.
Yeah, it's relaxing, man.
Oh, sick. There was one film that won Best Adapted Screenplay. Well, it was American Fiction, and I know it's on Prime. So my plan is I want to watch it this week. So
it's coming out on Prime. Oh, wicked. Yeah, I want to watch
it. It's true, Make and Fix on Prime.
Okay, no, I'm going to watch that.
So I do want to watch that. And your film won Best Visual Effects.
Yeah, Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah, Godzilla with the back off.
Minimum budget as well, you know. Minimum budget too. So I'm proud of them, man. Get me.
I still haven't watched it. When I watched it, I want to know, has Godzilla got back off like the way Merv described it?
Bro, allow it, man.
Zilla got back.
I'm not hearing no pause. I don't care if it's a made up thing.
There's no need for the pause, bro. There's no need for the pause. Just embrace it. Just embrace it.
how can you go from saying childish pause to saying so you got to say pause?
They're talking about whatever. Godzilla's back off.
And you're disappearing.
Quick question about Godzilla.
Yeah.
Isn't it female?
Good question.
She was trying to look after the child, the baby Godzilla. That's what that movie was about. So I'm just...
the one with the Robert Emmerich one.
Matthew Broderick.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah.
Wasn't that a female Godzilla?
I think that Godzilla might have been female.
So I'm just helping you out, bro. You could say, "What's a girl?"
I think it was a sexual.
Bro, I tried to help you, bro. You could have just been like, "Yes."
I know. I was going with you. Apparently, it says in original Japanese films, Godzilla and all the other monsters are referred to with gender-neutral pronouns equivalent to it, while in the English dub versions, Godzilla is explicitly described as a male. In his book, Godzilla co-creator Tomoyuki Tanaka suggested that the monster was probably male. Yeah, so I guess he is.
Yeah.
And we've killed him. Pause.
And the Boy and the Heron won Best Animated Feature as well. So that's good. Like, good. Miyazaki film as well. So that's, I think that's his last film, apparently. So he said the other one before was his last film, but hey, let's hope he keeps doing it anyway. Let's stop there.
But are we going to breeze past the fact that John Cena did his naked thing? Yeah. This thing?
Oh, yeah. Bruv,
you see, I know you like don't take me seriously when I say things, but you see how when you watch these stars hit a plateau, they get to a certain point. John Cena's from WWE, bruv. He was a wrestler. He became an actor. He's good. He's getting very far. Now it's almost like it's a ritual kind of thing. Like now you got to make a fool of yourself now to go further. Like other people, they have to put on the dress and stuff, and then they go further. Like
what was that?
Why would he? Why would you be on there and say, yeah, I'll do that? Why would you do that? Like that's like he's literally naked. Like with just something.
But, I mean, was it a theme? Was it to do with anything? Or
I think there was a streaker a few years ago or something like that. Something that ran through the stage apparently. So then they reenacted it. But like I said, last year it was the slap. This year's my people that are watching. Bad Boys 4 is now coming out. Come on.
They also want to do things that are fun, innit? Like,
yeah, I guess it's really, innit?
And John Cena, to me, like, although he was a wrestler, he's a movie actor, like, I think he just generally wants to be the funny guy as well. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
You can be funny in so many other ways, bro.
He's actually done the dress thing already. You've seen that. Well, yeah, he's already done that. Now he's done this naked thing. Like his movies, he's gonna go out further. And I'm telling you, like Will Smith had the slap. Here's your Oscar, Will. Do the slap. But just think about it. Look at it. It's a show. It's literally a stage. Literally.
No, the slap thing. It was unprovoked. That was a pre-planned.
He wasn't actually naked though. But he apparently had, what do you call it?
Well, if he was naked, he must have had a sock on. Because
no, he had the modesty garments. So basically what they were saying...
Wait, are you going out there to do that in a modesty garment?
No, I wouldn't. But he was talking about the fact that... I don't know what his explanation is. But I know it's talking about the modesty garments and costume departments, intimacy coordinators, all that stuff. And they're the kind of stuff that... You remember when you talk about when you said if you are doing a film with Kelly Rowland... Like you're gonna,
yeah, yeah, of course, yeah, 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 yeah. I understand that.
Those are things that they do. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, yeah, that was the Oscars. Thank you very much, Merv. I didn't get to watch it. Like I said, I saw it was on Sunday ITV, but I was very, very tired, so I do apologize.
You're gonna watch it, right?
Say again.
You will watch it, right?
I will watch it.
Yeah.
Well, the Oscars? No, you just told me if it happened. Yeah, no, I don't need to watch it now. He's told me. He told me who the winners were. Right, I think Kel's trying to get at me here, but I'm going to...
No, not at all.
Yes, Kel, I never watched Oscars. No, sometimes I have watched Oscars before. Shout out my kind of friend of the show. I don't know if he is really, or I even sometimes like him, but he is a little bit cringe. Auntie Joshua did what Tyson Fury couldn't do on Friday, and I was actually quite glad that all of the man them were actually watching the boxing.
I watched it. I didn't even know it was on, I just came to my cousin's venue and they're like, yeah, the fight's about to start. I'm like, what? I didn't even know they're fighting. But I watched it, yeah.
No, it was good. It was over in a couple of rounds, but I think Andy Joshua did what he had to do in it.
The Zhang Parker fight was sick. That was the sickest fight, but yeah.
Zhang Parker was good.
Oh yeah, that was a good fight. I actually thought Zhang was going to win that game.
The fight had lost. if the fight was a shorter fight, Zhang could have potentially.
Yeah.
Like, he got two knockdowns, you know what I mean? But it was just obviously the longevity of the fight and all that stuff, innit?
Just a quick thing, going back onto that AJ fight. Like, I know everyone's obviously over the moon for AJ for being a Bengwanu, right? But I'm like, remember, he's just, this really and truly, this is an exhibition fight. So how serious can you take this fight and saying, oh, the real AJ's back? The way that everyone's going on.
Thank you, like, bro.
You're not fighting a traditional boxer.
No, it's not. It's the manner in which AJ did it. You see what it is? It's not like, for me, yes, it's an exhibition fight, but handle your business properly. Tyson Fury, when he did that, and yeah, there's lots of different reasons, whatever, didn't handle his business properly. It wasn't done the way it should have been. Like, you are a professional boxer. He is not. Do you get me? This is his second fight. Beat him up like you would have beat up anybody. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, do it properly, bruv.
I get what you mean, do it properly, but
No, but it's not about, I don't think anyone thinks that Anthony Joshua's back.
Everyone does.
No, but you can see something in Anthony Joshua that he has lacked for many, many years, bruv. It's not about, because for me, it's not about who he was fighting. It's just in him. He looks like he used to look. I still think he's hella cringe.
By fighting someone who's only had...
Yeah, is that not because he knows he's fighting someone that's had two fights in this...
No, because last fight...
AJ's been fighting for years, bro.
No, but last fight, he was the same.
Sorry? Last fight...
It's like, what's his name? Mayweather and... Who did Mayweather fight? McGregor.
What they're trying to say, Nate, is, yeah, the last fight he had, he was really good. AJ was really good. But what I think what Richard Marlon's trying to say is that if he's fighting not an amateur boxer, he's fighting someone that doesn't even, yeah, he might have boxed a little bit at a young age, but he's not a boxer.
No, he's an MMA fighter. But exactly. Kel,
so okay, you beating him up is nothing.
All right, Kel, we just reverse it. If AJ's in the MMA with Ngannou, AJ's fucked. Sorry for the language, but he.
Okay, but then,
so it doesn't mean anything that he won that fight. To me, anyway.
With that same logic. So are we saying that, what are we saying about Tyson Fury? Because we wouldn't ever talk about Tyson Fury like that. Because Ngannou beat up Tyson Fury. But none of us here are gonna say, no, but Tyson Fury's finished. Da, 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 da. We're not gonna say that same thing. But when it's Anthony Joshua, we will say that. So why would we not talk about Tyson Fury in that same breath?
We did, though. Everyone's cussing Tyson Fury.
No, we didn't. No, because even now, everyone we still say...
Everyone was cussing for that fight.
If I ask Richard now, right now, Tyson Fury, who wins? Tyson Fury or AJ? He's going to say Tyson Fury.
Well, I'm going to say Tyson. I think Tyson Fury will win.
Why? On what grounds?
On his track record.
Exactly.
But right now, when I'm talking about Anthony Joshua's track record, you're saying, no, you can't. You're looking at his last fight.
No, I'm if we're going to ask about Anthony Joshua, I'm looking at his track record. He's got something about him that...
The comment you made was about his last fight. It wasn't about his track record.
But we're talking about his last fight.
Exactly.
So, okay, so let's talk about Tyson Fury's last fight then.
Okay.
And it was shit.
What about his last professional fight as a boxer versus boxer?
Okay, so no, his last fight was MMA. Against Ngannou.
Yeah, and it was rubbish. It was shit.
What I'm trying to say is, Richard, you just moved the goalpost. You said his last professional fight or his... What I'm trying to say, you can't... That's what I'm saying, you can't...
I'm not moving no goalpost. But if we're talking about Ngannou fight with Tyson Fury, Fury was disgraceful.
So now, why? But would you say that Tyson Fury is disgraceful?
What, following that fight, yeah.
So, okay, so now, if you're saying he's disgraceful following that fight, why can't you say AJ was good following that fight?
I'm not saying AJ wasn't good.
No, but you can't give AJ props.
No, I'm just saying the hype behind AJ's back, people shouldn't be saying that because he beat someone who's only had two professional boxing fights.
No, they're saying it because A, his first professional fight was against Tyson Fury and he beat him up. And also, AJ's last fight, he looked good as well.
Okay, but I'm not taking this as a professional boxing match from a boxing from a boxing element. I'm taking this as an exhibition because this is
no, what it was a boxing match. It was a boxing match.
Oh, Giza, this is an exhibition fight, bro.
It's not an exhibition fight, though. Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul is an exhibition match. This wasn't an exhibition match.
No. Okay, maybe you didn't think so, but
Ngannou was put down in the top 10 of the boxing thing, the top 10. So how can it be that that's an exhibition match? It's a professional
match. He can't be top 10. It's impossible.
He was in the top 10.
No, no, it's impossible. How can you be top 10? It's impossible. That's
an exhibition match to me.
It's because of the whole hype money thing, bro. That's what it is.
Money talks, and that's why the fights happen.
That's what it was. It's no way top 10. How can it be
all
top 10?
All I'm saying
bro?
Is we can't disrespect AJ because of how
no,
he performed.
No one is disrespecting AJ.
I don't know where you get this from.
So what are we doing?
What I'm and saying
is, I'm not even AJ's biggest fan. So
what you're saying? He's not back because he beat Ngannou. That's it. Not disrespecting him. He done well. He beat him, but he's.
I know, but what Nate's saying that the last fight before the Ngannou fight, he battled up the man. Like
that's,
done
really that's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
But,
okay.
But what we're saying as well is that this fight with Ngannou, you can't say like he's the man or he's back with this fight though because. You're a professional boxer. Like you've been boxing for since 2012. Do you know what I mean? So like,
if Ngannou had beat him, what would we be saying? It's still an exhibition match.
Are we cussing him as well?
Had dealt with him the way he dealt with Fury.
Yeah, we'll cuss him as well.
But don't forget, Fury didn't lose.
Exactly, Fury didn't lose.
Come on. Man.
No, man. The same way you're saying it's a professional fight. If Fury didn't lose, he still counts that as a win, right?
Because he wasn't allowed to lose.
Okay, so what was it? An exhibition fight? Was it?
No, but you know he lost.
What?
You saw him lose. You watched him.
No, I didn't see him lose, Giza. What did the judges say? What did the judges say? Did he win or lose?
The judges let the man win because it went against everything.
Unnecessary argument, boy. I just don't understand.
I'm saying AJ won, yeah?
We're all saying AJ won.
But I don't think... My thing is, AJ, I think, is cringe. But you men are saying we can't say AJ's back. That's the issue.
Bro, you said AJ cringe like 10 times, though.
No, because he was cringe.
That's not enough to do with what we're saying, though.
No, I know what you lot say, but I'm saying I think AJ's cringe. AJ won. He did what he was supposed to do, bro.
Yeah, we're going in circles, man.
I just don't think you know. I just think sometimes don't argue, bro. Just let it be, man.
No,
in the words of AJ, it is what it is. Fucking cringe, bro. Fucking cringe, bro. He's a big man.
No, he is. He's proper cringe.
He's a good man.
When he talks, I'm like, I always have to hold my breath when he talks.
Bro, why can't you go back to being the silent guy?
Hey, I don't get you. How can you go from backing him now to dissing him?
No. Boxing ability.
I'm talking about after the fight, bro. When he does all of that, bro, it's nonsense. He was like, it is what it is. And this is what I got to do. And go on, don't give up. Shut up, man.
All those gun sounds. Bro, how old are you, bro?
Bro, and then, bro, I love Heartless Crew, you know. Did you see afterwards when Bushkin was did the question? Bro, and then he started, then... AJ started reciting the Heartless Crew lyrics. I was like, for fuck's sake, man. Guys.
They all go home to their rich homes and their rich lives.
100%. But I was about to say we're paid to discuss these things, but we're clearly not.
he's getting paid. You know, however he wants it.
But yeah, also, I did mention before, Tyson is going to be fighting Jake Paul live on Netflix as an exhibition match. But I watched some of Tyson's training, and I hope Tyson busts his head.
I'm worried about this.
Agreed.
Like, Tyson's in his 60s, you know.
He's 57.
Okay, I'm still worried because I remember when Tyson kind of just. Do you remember back in the day when his coach died? And like he would go in the ring and just lose. He just was a shadow of, and he even said it one time. He's like, yeah, I just came here for the payday. I needed the money. Like he even said it, it's not in me anymore. I don't want to fight. I hope he's got past that. Because I don't want to see him lose to this prick.
I don't know if you saw the training fight. Him training that I sent in the group the other day.
I did. Is that him? Yeah.
That's Tyson. But like, that he's training.
So I'm saying, you know where these hooks are coming from. You trained to do that. You trained to dodge that.
I could look like Tyson training, bro.
When Mayweather was doing his shit and he's looking at the camera. He ain't doing that. Like, come on. Like, it's training. Mayweather did do that in the ring.
He did do it in the ring.
Have you seen this new guy? I can't remember his name, but he's doing acrobats. He's spinning. He's lifting people. What's wrong with this guy?
They're not allowing him. They're not allowing him to do it.
It's too much, but he's fucking them up, though. But it's too much.
I wonder if this could be like a Rocky Balboa situation. Like, you know the Rocky Six film, basically, where obviously Rocky retired, and he's more or less the same age as well that Tyson is right now at the time. And he fought that youngster, and he had him up, but he still lost, didn't it? But I reckon as long as it's a good fight.
Look, it won't be a good fight. Let's be honest. I don't know how many rounds the plan... I think it must be a 5-rounder because Tyson can't last no more than two, three rounds max.
He can.
Nope.
Bruv, this is not Ronaldo in that advert the other day. Yeah? I don't know if you've seen that advert.
No, I've seen that.
Super sub advert. It's not that. This is Tyson, bruv.
Tyson smokes a lot of weed as well, you know.
No. Tyson will not last. Look, 3 rounds in a boxing ring is not the same as Tyson when he was 20 years old.
This is not Ngannou coming fresh from MMA. This is Tyson. Tyson, this was his life, bro. He was a boxer.
I get that. Is it Logan Paul or Jake Paul?
Jake.
Jake's got stamina. Significant. I've seen Jake Paul box from when he was nonsense he's still nonsense to a certain degree, but he's progressed significantly and improved. Yeah.
Look, I know.
We all grew up with Iron Mike Tyson wanting to beat him, box like him. They're aggressive. He can get aggressive all he wants in the first round, but he's got to make sure he knocks him out in the first round.
Yeah.
After that, he's got problems.
I know it's Iron Mike, but he's 40 years past his prime. Now, I'm not saying he's going to lose. I just don't want... I don't know. I see him knocking him out. Like, if he's still got that power, then Jake can't do anything about it. But
he can't hold punches like how he used to hold punches, bro.
And plus, you got to remember, we watched Tyson from when we were young. We watched Tyson. So he was like role model kind of like concept of being a boxer. You don't want to see... It's like... It is what it is.
And then releasing the Goonies again. Like, no, release... Yeah.
Like with the same cast doing no, you don't
it's
do
not,
it.
It's not with that. You don't see him get beat by a YouTuber, bro.
Yeah, but this shouldn't happen. But
no, I don't think he'll get beaten up. I don't think he'll get beaten up.
Boy.
If he loses the place or something like that, he won't get beaten up.
Just one more thing on boxing, and because it's to do with the Paul brothers, Logan, whatever their names are. Did you remember the Mayweather fight with Logan Paul? If you watch that again, Mayweather knocks him out.
He holds him up.
Bruv, yeah. I just reminded me. I'm hoping Mike Tyson does that's kind of.
He literally
held him up.
I hope Mike Tyson don't hold him up. Yeah, and then maybe these YouTubers will stop doing the boxing thing. All right. I know, Merv, you are very excited about X-Men 97 coming out, or we were very excited about X-Men 97 coming out, but I understand the creator, Bo DeMeo, has been fired. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I've not actually read the story, to be fair. So, yeah. I know he's been fired, and it's what? Just coming under 10 days. Yeah, 20th of March coming out.
So him being fired and it still coming out, it's going to cause no difference in regards to it being released on the same date. It's a case. It's probably the fact that they don't like his vision going forward, and they can get better.
No, apparently he's already written season 2 of the of bloody X-Men 97 as well. Okay. And he was talking about writing the first. I don't know. I'm scrolling as I'm talking to you, but I know he also write on Moon Knight, and he was also writing on Blade.
Okay.
There was just a company email saying that he was no longer on the project. And then he deleted his Instagram.
No comment.
Apparently, it's normal business for Marvel or any studio to just split from the writers. But because he was a top creative, it's sudden. I don't know what's going on.
Mm. Have any of you watched the old ones since they've talked about releasing this 97?
No.
No.
I just remember them.
I watched a couple the other day, bruv. The memories that brought back.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's know what your future holds.
I went to the last season, yeah, and the music was different. Like, it was like proper updated, like same tune but updated with electric guitar. Like, it sounded so horrible, yeah, bro.
More rock, it sounds more rocky,
man. It was up and down. I was like, nah. What are they doing?
And Merv, why are you Super Saiyan today?
Because I'm here to celebrate the life of Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and all the Dragon Balls, basically. Very sad day for the anime, or just people that love Dragon Ball, to be fair. Like, he created something that was just, that is still ongoing and still, it's just incredible to, like, a lot of fans out there. The energy has been incredible, man, because, like, everyone's just, like, dressing up as Dragon Ball characters. Like, I see some football thing in different countries where they're just, like, imitating the move.
It was years ago. Pardon? That was years
ago. Yeah, all right. Okay, my bad. I stopped in my tracks, man. Say afterwards, did it? But anyway, yeah. But, no, man, this one's shut me down, you know. But, like, no, there's just been an outpour of love for this guy, isn't it? Because it's, I guess when you're like looking at, when we're watching these things when you're young, it's like all we just care about is the what's being presented in front of us. We never really kind of looked at who is the person that's behind these stories and stuff, innit? Especially, like, I suppose when it comes to maybe more of the anime side of things, because we're probably so used to, like, the Western side of the world. We know who obviously Stan Lee is and Walt Disney and things like that. But when it comes to, like Japan and stuff, like, well, yeah, we know Hayao Miyazaki. I've always known who Akira Toriyama is because, you know, Dragon Ball has just been in my life since I was, like, really young, actually. But no, man, it's just, yeah.
So did he do the drawings, yeah, or did he come up with the storylines? I'll be honest, I'm so ignorant with this.
He created the story. Yeah, story, drawings, and it's like, I guess when you create something, as time goes on by, because of the popularity of it, it wouldn't be sustainable for him to do everything, can it? So he got in these artists to do stuff. He got in obviously other writers to work on it. There's just different renditions, like, or different versions of Dragon Ball. Like, you had Dragon Ball, then Dragon Ball Z, then Dragon Ball GT, Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Super is the latest one, like, the series where basically it's condensed now. Like, so, like, the whole Dragon Ball Z series, it's just being condensed to sort of, like, get rid of the fillers, basically. So if anyone really wants to jump on Dragon Ball now, Dragon Ball Super is the one to watch, apparently.
Yeah,
and not only that as well, just how many dozens of films that they've done as well alongside with it.
Okay,
so
shout out to all of the Dragon Ball Z lovers, yeah, and shout out to man like Gokes, because, like, he was named after him.
Is that where he gets that from?
Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't even know that. I've never watched a single episode of.
No, but I always knew the character Goku. I didn't know.
Yeah,
no,
I knew the character Goku.
So did you call him Goku? No, before never you called him Goku.
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that. Knew that.
Did Goku back in the day try to do the rage thing? Whoa.
Yeah. How he got that name was, but when he used to go to the gym, he used to be like, I never watched it, so I don't know. But when he's pushing the weights, he would do the expression of, I think, Goku. So I don't know what did Goku used to do when he's angry or when he's changing.
It'll power up, innit? It'll power up. Just like,
is it like a deep breath, or is he like charging up, or I don't know.
Yeah, it'll charge up. Like, basically, they're powering up, innit? And then, like, you know, Man Mac turning Super Saiyan, like, you know I mean, different levels of Super Saiyan, 1, 2, 3. Super Saiyan 4, Super Saiyan God level, Super Saiyan
Blasphemy.
Yeah, like,
But do you know what it is? Yeah. How come you guys never ever watched like Dragon Ball Z?
I was too old. When it came out.
I was too old when it came out. I was working in banking when this came out. I don't know about that. I'm at work.
Do you know what it is? I remember when I was young. I think I might have been around maybe 10, 11. But I remember my brother came home because he went to France. And he came home with like a book, like a Japanese sort of comic. I was like, what's this? And it's like, I think he had one or two at the time. And it was just some random episode of it. And apparently it was in the Frieza saga. Obviously, Rich, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The Frieza and Namek saga. So I just remember this book was so fascinating. The fact that you could read, like, it was backwards as well. And it was in Japanese. So I didn't have a clue what was being said. All I know is that the imagery was so on point that you didn't even really need words. You just knew what was going on just because of the picture. So even like the comic book storytelling was on point. And it's like, and then, yeah. And I think over the years, my brother was just collecting it. And like, eventually they brought it out in English. And I remember I went to St. Lucia one time when I was 17 and I was watching Cartoon Network there. And I just see an advert coming on Dragon Ball Z. I was like, does my eyes deceive me? Like, so, yeah, like, for the rest of the holiday, I just watched it as much as I could do. And then I don't think it was that long after that they released it in the UK.
Yeah, they released it in the UK in 2000, March 2000.
Yeah, so
I went to
99 for Christmas. Right. So, like, for the millennium, innit? So, yeah, they did release it.
This episode's gonna come out, yeah. I'm gonna get a phone call, yeah. Okay, yeah. The phone call's gonna say, so you try to tell me back then, yeah, Merv went all the way to St. Lucia and just stayed in the house from then. Watch, it's guaranteed. Yeah. I'm telling you this now because I'm gonna call you next week and tell you this.
We can't talk because we're in Barbados, we're watching bloody the game.
Yeah, but we still went outside.
Yeah, we still went outside.
We did go outside. We just spent a lot of time watching the game on BET.
St. Lucia is just like going home in the sun, isn't it? That's all it is. Yeah, there's no need to do any tourist stuff, is it? Big up Akira Toriyama, man. Thank you. Big him up, man.
Dragon Ball Z. All right. We've been talking about a series that had just come back. Actually, before we even talk about a series that's come back, Kel, there was something hot off the press today.
Oh, yeah. What? Power, yeah? The Origins, or the Originals, I don't know what it's called. But yeah, so now and again, when we speak about Kanan and raising Kanan, we're always like, when is Tommy and Ghost going to be in it? Like, because obviously, I think in our head, well, the end of the real Power, they show a little preview of young Tommy and young Ghost in it. So we'll figure, Raising Kanan, they're going to be in that. But I think Raising Kanan is the third season now, there's still no Ghost or Tommy.
And no time soon does it look like they're going to be in there.
Yeah, so it's like, what's going on? What's wrong?
No, you went quiet for a minute.
Oh, is it? I think I must have froze. So it's just like, what's going on with that? With that whole storyline, is it ever going to happen? But 50 Cent just came out saying that you guys have been asking. I think it's in production, he said. I think he said it's in production right now. But yeah, Power. Is it the Origins or?
Yeah, so it's going to be Power Book 4 or Power Book 5, sorry, Origins.
Yeah, Origins, yeah. So it'll be the story of Tommy and Ghost. I don't know if Kanan will be in that series or maybe he'll come in later on in the series. I don't know.
Yeah, that will kind of make sense, right?
Yeah.
It'll be make sense for Raising Kanan to come to an end and then he will kind of fall into
the same actor just comes over.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense, yeah.
It would make sense, but I think it's massive. I've been saying this for ages. Like, we've been kind of calling for it. When are they going to come in? And it took so long for kind of 50 to kind of say, yeah, we're on board now, we're going to do it. And I think it brings joy to a lot of Power fans. including myself and some of you guys. Do you get what I mean? So definitely, you know, we be waiting. I'll be looking for the exclusives. Who's going to be the Tommy? Who's going to be Ghost? Do you get what I mean? So, yeah, I need to see some little clips of these actors and see how they're going to be.
Yeah. I'll be on this one. I'll be back in the Powerverse.
Oh, you're back in the Powerverse.
Look, I don't know, man. I think you need to earn your right, you know.
I'm an original. Man. Listen, I'm an original. I've taken the hiatus.
You need to go for some Pro Charles or Hercules, bro, to get back, bro. Yeah.
Also, it'll be Tommy and James, not Tommy and Ghost.
Oh, sorry, yeah, Tommy and James. Tommy and James.
Actually, just a quick question. So currently, Raising Kanan, Kanan is about 17, right?
About 15, 16?
15. He's in school still.
He can't be 15 still.
He's still in school.
But you know, American school is different, though, isn't it?
Yeah, 18 in America, isn't it? You don't leave till you're 18.
Yeah,
I don't think he's that age, though.
So, him and Jukebox, she's going to army, right? So, they're about the same age.
I think she's older, though.
Jukebox is supposed to be the older cousin.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't know. Okay, if he's still 15, he's a very big ass 15-year-old, right? and it's a case of, because I'm trying to think of a timeline, because that means we're going to see, we're going to see Tommy and James at an age of maybe 17 then.
Kanan might come in a later season.
Okay,
might come in later season. That's
how
they might do it.
Okay. Yeah, probably. Yeah, you're right.
Do you reckon they'll have the same actress for Kate as well? And like they might just CGI her face or something.
Oh, nah, they'll probably have to get a younger mum.
What, the mum?
They'll get a younger mum strung out.
No way. Please don't.
Put them out for some makeup on, make her look a lot younger. Who knows?
And Tasha.
I reckon they will, you know.
Now, Tasha should be Angela Valdez.
Yeah, Angela Valdez will be in it, yeah. Definitely.
Angie.
AUSA Angela Valdez, man. Don't forget the AUSA, bro.
Nah, but this is before she was part of she was a fed. She was on an op block.
It was just those four, right?
I know Tasha was there. She was there from when they were young, right?
Tasha.
Yeah,
she was there. They were there for when she was young.
No, I don't. Well, Tasha was way after Angela.
Yeah. Tasha didn't know Angela. That's true.
Tasha didn't know Angela.
But didn't they all go to the same?
And remember, Angela was there, but Tasha wasn't there. Then Angela left. Tasha was
there, yeah.
Angela went away, and then Tasha came over.
Okay.
And the fact we keep on calling her Tasha.
All right. Oh, no, that's what's been like. Daily we'll be calling her Tasha. Get me?
You're Tasha.
All right, guys, BMF, season 3, episode 2. Richard tried to ruin it by putting messages in the group on Friday.
Then on
Sunday, Merv and Richard started having a big debate about the episode. I'm thinking, what the fuck? I hadn't watched it yet.
No, sorry, man. You're the man in the know, innit? So we just assumed that you watched it.
No. I was just trying to be...
And what about me?
Oh yeah, Kel watches it. Kel, you haven't watched it, have you?
Man. I watched it.
Yeah, watch it.
No, you hadn't watched it then.
No, I hadn't. No.
They tried to ruin it for you as well.
Trust me.
We didn't really give spoilers though, really, did we, Rich? We was very careful. Yeah. We didn't just
We started talking about first sex scene, that should have went on longer. What was the point of that?
Nothing should have went on longer. We didn't say nothing should go on longer.
The remix way. It's how life starts spreading.
Hold on. Do you want to go back to you said?
There's no need. Let's just talk about BMF.
All right. What are your thoughts on this episode?
It was all right, man. It was all right. It's a slow burnout. This one, you know, like the first season was like it was. It just got going and it was things were happening. Yeah. It was like right, exciting. This was a slow burner. It's a slow burner, but I just keep adding little stories and it's like, okay, what's this got to do with anything? Do you know what I mean?
Like the mum's old doctor school friend.
come on, like, man. Like,
so inappropriately just moving to her in front of her daughter. Like,
hold on. What the hell is that? The dad's allowed to get some action, but the mum in her sexy nightdress ain't allowed to get no action.
Girl, like,
it's so weird. It's like, yes, it is. Yeah, like, it's just like, at least wait till the daughter's away, innit, or something. It's so inappropriate.
No, no, but I think it caught her off guard, didn't it? It's all about the man should have waited.
Yeah, like, you're fine, you're still fine.
Them old man flirts there, you know, old men can't hold, they can't flirt in it. It's just straight out direct. Like, I want you now,
Maurice Montclair.
But yeah, and then I don't get, you know, the lady with the strap on, yeah.
Yeah.
What is her dad? Like, what is he like?
He seems to be like a top drug dealer of some sort.
No, but I don't think he's a top drug dealer, but he seems like to be high in government or in law.
Yeah, he's high in something, but he still is. His hand dabbles within drugs. But like, look, let me just jump in, right?
If you're talking about Henrietta, talk about it from the beginning, bro. Because she's a problem.
Okay, let me just start then. Like, the whole thing about, that's her name, Henrietta, because I didn't remember her name. I didn't want to remember her name, but now it's stuck in my head. Thank you. Henrietta. Like, the whole thing with Henrietta, like, I didn't mind the whole thing about going to her because of the drugs and all that kind of stuff, following their plug being arrested and everything. I didn't mind that. Well, I was thinking, okay, someone new, but didn't think she would... kind of grow into the episode the way she did. I thought it was a kind of a one-time thing the first bit of the scene, and that's all we saw of her. But when we saw what's the policeman's name? I can't remember his name.
I can't remember him as well.
Yeah, the guy, the bald head, his son went to prison. When he went to see an old kind of friend, and then Henrietta walked in, and I was like, okay. What's she got to do with him? And I thought, okay, there's a relation there. And then things started going on. I said to myself, okay, so she's going to be part of the new bad person crew who's going to have war with the brothers. Then there was like a random sexual scene.
No, I feel like you're not giving this girl her props, you know.
No, wait, go ahead. Do you want to jump in and say anything? You want me to continue?
I want you to continue, but I mean, I feel like you didn't start from the beginning with her.
No, okay. I'm sure you would come back and pull me back and stuff like that. But there was a bit of a random sex scene, which I still struggle to understand until this day. Right? I think it lasted maybe 10 seconds.
But no, we saw 10 seconds.
We saw 10 seconds.
It's about continuity everything, bro.
No, it was about 10 seconds it lasted, right? And that scene just didn't make any sense for the show itself.
Why didn't it make sense?
Because the scene, it just didn't make sense. You see her on top of the woman, stood up, taste me, turn around, and the not scene
taste
cut.
Me, taste yourself.
Taste yourself. Taste me, taste yourself. Cool. Turned around, scene cut. It didn't make sense
because of who she was. The whole thing made sense. That's right,
it didn't make sense.
It did. Did you know who she was?
What, the woman?
Yeah.
She was the woman from the bar. Well, the club or whatever it was. Wherever she...
But she was another plug. She was another plug.
Yeah.
Correct. Right. But that scene wasn't necessary because there was another...
Why? She said she's got a motorboat.
You know what? I'll tell you how bad the editing was, yeah? If you watch it again, it was the same scene. Go and watch it, that 10-second clip, and watch the other sex scene. It was exactly the same scene. That's why it was so poor. Watch it again, because I had to rewind it because I was so vexed. Because I clocked it up on nine. Why are you allowing me to?
We know why you added it, Nick, Rich. We know why you added it.
Look, I'm not gonna lie. I've got issues. I've got issues. I rewind. And I caught what I thought it was, and I said, like, no, come on, guys. This is the same scene. It's exactly the same scene, but you just cut one part and put it, and then removed it and put it to another part. It's really poor editing. Really, really poor. That's why I said it didn't make sense. And everyone watching this pod now, you go and watch the parts that I'm referring to, and you realize actually this is quite poor. It is all just one scene, but snipped up and not edited correctly. And that's the reason why that frustrates me, because I feel from the beginning of watching BMF, I haven't been comfortable at all of how it started. And this episode has given me no excitement to this whole season. I've got a feeling, you know, like everyone says, yeah, it starts slow. But these BMF shows, TV shows, right? They don't get no more than 8 episodes. So we've wasted almost 2 of them already. Do you get what I mean?
Nah,
like, even going back to episode one should have been the kind of the end of season 2. Episode 1 didn't need to happen. Episode one didn't have to be part of this season. It just didn't have to. It should have started a total fresh.
I'm not sure why BMF bugs you so much, but maybe this is what...
No, I love BMF. That's the thing.
Maybe this is what Kel feels about power. No, I don't know if you do love BMF.
No, I love BMF, but I have to be critical of stuff that I love. And if it's not good from my expectations, what I've had from season 1 and season 2, I'm going to criticize you. Like, remember when we... Was it one of Tyreek's seasons that we didn't like?
Tariq.
Okay, Tyreek, allow me. I can't remember what show it was. There's one of them that I didn't like particularly, and I voiced my opinions, like, it didn't really make sense. But on this one, at the moment, it's not the greatest. And just for look at one of the brothers. Look, it just didn't make sense. Right, I'll tell you another one where when that Puerto Rican guy was looking for
Meech.
And his brother said, yeah, he's in Atlanta or wherever he is. Like, what kind of brother does that? Well, why would the brother come and meet the drug dealer looking for your brother? Oh, you're not going to find him. He's over there. So, and the Puerto Rican guy goes all the way over there to go and find Meech. Why would you even consider doing that? It doesn't make sense. Is it Meech your brother or what?
I think that's all part of the plan. I think that's all part of the... plan, bro. Like,
what
that's why Meech was so angry when it happened, because
he's not angry because it happened, because he got the plug. The plug came looking for him. I understand that. But the whole point of obviously his brother meeting the guy, thinking, what do you want? You're not gonna find Meech. It's all about me. I'm here. And he says, yeah, Meech is in Atlanta, and got in the car and drove off. Who does that? What loving brother does that? Come on, get out of here. And the whole thing is it Lala or Lula, whatever her name is, right? Lala. Yeah? Like the whole thing with her breaking up, what's his name?
Terry.
Breaking up with Terry, and Terry just, okay, I get that, right? Terry go back to his ex, obviously she's carrying his baby and everything else. But it was just too stupid. All of a sudden, Lala, she's okay, she's out of hospital, everything's perfect. They've got, come on, what are we doing here? Really? A minute ago, she almost died. Now she's out on a bed talking Mitch, to him, saying, now I think we've got to break up.
But this is power, though. I don't know what's going on, bro.
The thing is, this is not power. It's if BMF. It was power,
Rich would have been fine with it. This is BMF based on a loosely based true story, bro. Like, it is what it is.
No. But look, like I said to you, episode one and this episode just doesn't correlate together correctly. Like, she was dying in hospital. She wasn't dying, but she was in hospital. She was recovering from being shot at. And now she's okay. She's in the bedroom. And he was moving, and now he said, you can't move.
But this is what I brought up last week about the dread guy. The dread guy got beat up twice. And then the next second, he's in the next scene with no bruises, no blood, talking to man, killing man.
Everyone's got Jamal Powers, isn't it? Everyone's got Jamal Powers.
Yeah, like, I brought this up
last week. It's a power universe, isn't it? Yeah. It's a power universe, bro. Come on.
Yeah, man. It's like, bro,
Nah, I do think it's like there's nothing. I heard you. I understand what you're saying. I disagree, but it's cool. I think you spoke for all of us about BMF today. So
thank you. Well done, Rich. Good monologue, where
I actually enjoyed that, Rich. And I don't watch it.
More energy.
You didn't even talk about when Henry it was in the playing cards, and then the guy she said to him, I fucked your wife the other day, and the man was like, no, you didn't. And then she just started reciting the address, and then he got angry. Then he tried to switch, and she pulled the sword out. I feel like she's an okay character. Her dad is actually, I think he's a lawyer. But I think the dad used to also mentor the Detective Bryant. So that's why Detective Bryant went around there to play chess.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not a fan of Henrietta. I'm not going to be a fan of her.
She was doing the thing and you didn't like that scene.
No. It's not. I just feel she's an unnecessary person to be included into all this TV show. But that's just me.
All right, cool. Well, next week, hopefully, we will have someone else doing a monologue on BMF Season 3, Episode 3. All right, guys. What else has been going on, please? I know there's a new series that has been released by Guy Ritchie called The Gentleman on Netflix, which is based off the film, loosely based off the film that he did. The Gentleman. I am, I think, 5 episodes in. I haven't finished it. I decided I'm not going to rush it. But so far, so funny.
You know, it doesn't interest me 1 minute, you know. It doesn't interest me at all. I saw a trailer. And I was like, I don't care for this.
Now, do you know what? If you're not a fan of Snatch or Lock, Stock and 2 Smoking Barrels, then you won't care for it. But I love those two films, right? And this just kind of mirrors exactly the memory that I had from those films, right? And I watched all of it. I loved it. I binged it to a certain degree. Then I kind of, when I got to like episode 5, and I thought, let me just do one a day. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And I enjoyed it even more. But yeah, I loved it. Merv, you finished it, right?
Yeah, I finished it. Yeah, no, it's very reminiscent of all those films that you mentioned, like Snatch, Lock, Stock. And it's just classic Guy Ritchie style, isn't it? It's like it's things that you expect from it, but you're also not offended by it either, because like some films or filmmakers can kind of do the same things in their films all the time, but when it comes to this kind of Guy Ritchie world, it's just like, no, you know what, I accept this, and all the actors in it just seem like they're having fun. Do you know what I mean? They enjoy playing those roles. What's his name? Giancarlo Esposito is just exceptional in it. Like he's just got bars for days, isn't it? For that whole film. Like
Giancarlo, the one who is
Giancarlo, Stanley Johnston with a T.
Yeah.
OG. Yeah.
Breaking Bad and all that stuff.
Yeah. OG. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
right. He's sick. No, yeah, like the twists in it, and I don't know. I just like I remember just watching it, right? And when they were talking, and then they have like the writing come up on the sides and saying,
"Yeah,
I love all that."
Yeah.
It even had our guy for Moonlight. Is it Moonlight? What's that guy's name? He's in a Marvel film. Is it another TV show? Moonlight? Is it Moon?
What about Freddy?
You're thinking of what? Freddy, the brother. He's not Oscar Isaac.
He's not, don't lie.
They look alike, but they're not the same person.
Shut up. No way. I'm having to Google this right now.
That's going to change your whole viewing experience, you know. You might say, shit now.
What? No way! I can't.
Proper.
That's proper. That's probably destroyed everything now.
Now they're gonna say now they know how it feels.
But don't you think it looks like him? No.
I can see what you say. I can see why you say that, but it's clearly not him.
Oh man! But anyway, yeah. But It doesn't matter if it was him or not, but the show was really good. I think every episode has had one twist or another. And what I also liked about it is, you see, like, a lot of the stuff, like, there's a situation happening, but you don't see it happen until he explains his story. You don't see it happening until he's, like, in a pool of blood, sitting down thinking, like, yeah, so basically this happened, and the scene just happens.
Classic Guy Ritchie style. Yeah, what I liked about it as well is how they went, like, because for eight episodes, they kind of really jump from different stories, you know? Like, listen, yeah. And I think, wait a minute, what happened to this guy that was at the beginning? It's like, okay, all of a sudden, like, you come back, like, yeah, it's I like that, man.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, and they've got a specific character, like the mad Asian woman with the chopper. she's just known, she's crazy and she'll chop you. So you see in different scenes and different activities, chopping someone, like, you think, all right, that's the mad one. There's the Irish crew, the Nutters.
Yeah.
There's the
travellers, isn't it? The travellers.
Yeah, the travellers. And, you know, the guys from Liverpool, the older brother, the church man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's, honestly, if you're not in love with a Guy Ritchie kind of film like Snatch, and Lockstock, then you might say, actually, you should like this film, like, because I've suggested it to a couple of people and they go to me, yeah, this is big. They really enjoyed it. It's something different that I haven't seen in a long time.
Don't you think, what's his name, Eddie's character, Theo James's character, reminds you a bit of Henry Cavill? Like, I could, if I closed my eyes, I could see Henry Cavill in that role.
Yes, it does.
Like, probably him, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Hmm.
I know you're probably happy to say that as well, innit?
That's right.
I did like it. I did like it. And I said to myself, you know, obviously, I don't want to obviously expose the end part of it, but in your eyes, did you feel that there could be like a season two on the back of it? Or is it just...
It's weird, you know. When I was looking at my TV time, it said it's ended. So that's why I'm quite surprised, like, because it could look like it could have a season two, but so much happened in it, like, yeah, why wouldn't you do a season two?
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know where you could possibly go, because it might just, I don't know, it's just a whole cluster of madness and fun in it, and I think, how could you really keep on doing that season to season?
So I think if it is ended,
it's a safe space to end it, you know what I mean? Because it's gonna ruin it.
But the thing is,
basically, from just stretched out to eight episodes.
Yeah.
I'm glad he got to direct some, that he actually directed episodes in it as well.
Yeah. No. It was definitely big. But obviously, every man's greedy, isn't it? You know, I want to see more, but I just don't want him to. I just don't want him to spoil it, because I haven't even seen the film, so I don't know even how the film how the film compares to what the TV show is.
The thing is, I've seen the film, you know, but it's like, I feel like I can't remember it. I've seen it recently as well. That's the thing.
It's probably not good.
I remember it's good.
And it got Bugsy.
It's good. Pardon?
And you got Bugsy Malone in it.
Oh yeah, he has. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, that is. Oh yeah, you're right. He has got Bugsy Malone in it.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant. Yeah. Well, I've seen it.
Yeah. Hugh Grant. Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. I remember it being good, but it's like, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think. Is it part of the same stuff? I don't know. But yeah.
All right. Cool. A film came out a fortnight ago, maybe about a fortnight ago, which was Dune Part 2. And I know Merv spoke about it being a cinematic masterpiece. And maybe he was quite upset that it didn't come out in time for this year's Oscars, because it would have been a direct rivalry to the Oppenheimer film. So, a week later, I know I've seen it. I know you've seen it, Merv. Has anyone else seen Dune Part 2 yet?
No, I'm just watching one still.
Yeah, we gave you a lot of time, bro.
No, it's cool. It's cool.
That was about last week.
I'll let you guys do it. I don't want to hear it, so I'll let you guys.
I'm not going to spoil it anyway.
No, there's no spoilers.
What do you think of it, Nate?
I enjoyed it. I fully enjoyed Dune Part 2. I enjoyed the whole Dune series as it is. I'm quite looking forward to Part 3. I know I should have finished my audiobook of the first book of Dune. I am up to where, like, this film is now in the book.
Yeah. Okay.
So, like, certain things are happening, so I'm kind of understanding. If anything, I think the book has probably helped me understand the reason or the concept of what's going on. Because I think sometimes when you watch Dune, sometimes if you don't really understand or follow it properly and you blink maybe, or a long blink like I did, you kind of miss whole chunks and you're like, well, hold on, this doesn't make sense. Like, why are they even doing all of this? So the book allowed me to understand their world a little better. Yeah. The book did understand, make me understand the world a little better. What I will say about Dune Part 2, and maybe I haven't, maybe this is the second book that I'll read it, is I kind of didn't like My Man anymore by the end of the film.
To Paul?
Paul
Atreides.
And that may be the case of why it's supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know last time you lot spoke about this being Star Wars before Star Wars. Yeah. So with that mind on my head, I say, okay, it makes sense who he is and why he's being the way he is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But he's very much believing his own hype.
Yeah. And to be fair, it's like he is a very humble, I don't know, kind of prince type person that doesn't really want the power. It's like a Jon Snow kind of thing, isn't it, situation. And it's like the more that he kind of tries to deviate, look, I want to help out. I want to avenge a certain somebody. That's all he wants to do. But I think all of those characters around him are just like, no, you are the chosen one. You have to do what you have to do. And I think the power starts to get to him a bit more. He starts to step into that power, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. I think also, I do like this as a stellar cast. I think the fact that Zendaya is still in it, we've got the guy, I can't remember his name, we spoke about last week, was it Skarsgård?
Stellan Skarsgård.
Batista.
Yeah, like, David Batista.
And I know Marley spoke about it earlier in the sense of the wrestlers becoming film stars, but I think Batista was one of, I think it's been a good transition from him, to be honest.
Yeah, no, yeah. I his character was surprising, but he'd done really well at the same time.
But his character is just like that in the book.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah.
I mean, just in the sense of him and actually being able to act, there's some points where you think, does actors, can they, or they're just the same person?
Yeah.
Like, I think he's got range.
No, he's definitely got, even from Blade Runner 2024, like he was levels in that, even that film we watched
last year.
That cabin, knocking at cabin or something.
Is that a film that I suggested, yeah?
No, I suggested.
Yeah, yes, Rich. Yeah, no, he's definitely got range as well. The thing is, the only thing, I think my only gripe about the film really, and it's not really a spoiler, is maybe Zendaya, actually. Not because of it. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's like, I feel like everyone was kind of doing a certain, like, voice, if you know what I mean. And then she was just like Zendaya in every single film that she's ever been in. Do you know what I mean? But I didn't feel like there was anything alien about her.
No, she's the same person in every film, and I feel like
even
like there's always like this slow kind of romantic scene with her all the time, and it's kind of filmed the exact same way. Whether it's this film, whether it's the film that she did with what is his son? John David Washington?
Oh yeah, the Malcolm and me. Malcolm
that
and
Marie. One, all of them, they're all filmed the same way, and they're all filmed in a way that make me feel very uncomfortable. Like, obviously I know she's a grown up in it, but it always makes me feel mad uncomfortable. Like, I shouldn't be watching this. Like, I'm gonna get arrested for this shit. Like,
see, that didn't bother me. She's a good actress, amazing actress, and I thought, now you're in some kind of really deep sci-fi, like pristine sci-fi thing, I would have I don't know. I just kind of expected her to have a little bit more range in her acting. The acting was fine, but I just thought it just feels like Zendaya picked up from another film into another.
This could have been Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. So like, but no, but like I said, that's the only way. Didn't spoil the film or anything.
But again, it's not. And I guess it's very similar to the book. Like they literally went with the book in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it's a very, a very strict adaptation.
And it didn't. I know people say now Dune's a very complicated story to follow, but to me, like maybe just recently watching the 2021 just recently, and then watching this one. I feel like I understand it a lot better than I thought I was going to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, when I watched it again the second time around, I understood it a lot more. But
yeah.
You remember, this is book one, and there's 8 books.
Yeah.
So it probably does get a little bit more complicated.
Whoever controls spice controls the whatever they say.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. And we'll keep it. I will go on to book 2 and book 3 and book 4. And by the guess the next film comes out, I should be a Dune expert, if you will. All right. I know we've been on the air for a little while. Is there any other things that people have been watching or we should be recommending to the public or ourselves even?
Walking Dead. What's the name? Shauna. Yeah, that's sick. It's so far so good, bro.
Did Kel say Shauna?
For
sure. Oh, okay, my bad. How many episodes are you in now, too?
Yeah, the third one's out, but I'll watch that soon.
Yeah,
so I need to watch the other ones in between, like the Negan one and the Darren one.
The Darren one's good. The Negan one, Maggie one, but the Darren one was good. And but this one's better. So far, this one's better than both of them. Shogun is also doing his thing as well.
So much, yeah.
What? So you know you're Walking Dead. What season are you referring to?
No, so it's spin-off. Now. It's just spin-offs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Daryl one is that just one season?
Yeah, just one season.
And then it's done.
No, there will be.
How are you? Okay. That's a lot of hard work. Okay. Big up Merv because I'm still watching Constellation.
I watched the first 4 episodes. I need to catch up. It's
confusing. It starts slow. It is confusing, but I just checked. Yeah, the next one is out. It's out now. So.
Yeah, I just watched the latest one today. Just before.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that. Yeah, it's good, man. It's like it gets better every week.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Kel, you're not as far yet, but like, given what I just watched in episode 5, I'm telling you, it reminds me of From. I know it's not anything like it, but just the fact that...
Yeah, I know what you mean, the vibe. Like, From-ish kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, like, especially the last episode of From, when the mum vanishes and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't like From. Nah, sorry, you don't do your thing.
But yeah, Constellation, I'd recommend that program.
I've decided to that we do so much of the streaming sites and all the rest of it. I've decided to kind of do some Sky TV this week. So I 90% of this film through this film called Breaking is a film that came out about maybe last year, 2 years ago. It's got John Boyega in it and it's got Michael K. Williams, the one that plays Omar, and he's a retired war vet, and he like basically he's a retired war vet, homeless, all that kind of stuff. And then he goes and he tries to take this bank and he tells him he's going to rob the bank. He lets everyone go apart from like 2 tellers. He tells him he's got a bomb on him or whatever. And then it's about like, basically, I think it's just a cry for help. But it's based on a true story. I kind of know what happens at the end because of the story that it's based on. And it's like, it would cause outrage in America. Like, he's got mental, emotional challenges and all the rest of it. And it's like, basically, the police are going to end up trying to kill him. Yeah. And I remember it was like a big outcry. They did like protests, like, why did you have to kill him kind of thing? I think it's loosely based on that. So that's something that's come out on Sky. So I'm watching that. And there's a few other things, but they're recorded on the Sky Plus, the Sky Q, that I'm going to try and watch for next week. But I just thought, we always do that, some of the other stuff. And I thought, I know Rich occasionally wants to watch like a British program or whatever. So I thought, let me see what is like closer to home that I haven't had to pay a streaming for. Yeah. But I pay my Sky bill, so yeah, I guess it's all daylight robbery at the end of the day.
I also just watched Damsel on Netflix, the Millie Bobby Brown film. Like, surprise, I enjoyed it, you know.
No, he said Bobby Brown. I say no, Millie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, Millie Bobby. Yeah, Millie. I watched that. That was like easy watching. It's not. It's not nothing to shout home about. But it was. I think the kind of the strap line is sort of like. Normally, like, you know, people like just like kind of men saving damsels in distress, but not her, basically, in it. But I was like, I don't really think that translated so well in the actual film itself. But it was interesting because I kind of feel like this would be great as a series or maybe some ongoing sequels, depending on how they develop it. But yeah, it was all right. All right.
And it's got Angela Bassett and then Ray Winstone as well, isn't it?
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, what? Look, I'm not saying that everyone always has to do some big blockbuster movie or Oscar-winning performance, but this felt not to cast the film, but this felt like she was really out of place in the film.
Angela Bassett.
I mean, especially seeing her Queen Raimondo, and it's like, yeah, this you could have passed this one, really.
Fair enough. Okay, well, guys, if there is nothing else, rate, comment, subscribe. Please tell us what you think about Rich's experience of BMF, and we will see you soon.
Performance, yeah. Peace.